Victor Scotty Jr. is the creative director of Our Space. With only weeks away from graduating Aveda Institute in Arlington, he is on a mission to ensure spaces in the beauty industry are expansive enough for everyone to fit. Today, we're going to hear about how he is building himself, pursuing a passion, and affecting change. Welcome back to the Hairdresser Strong Show. My name is Robert Hughes, and I am your host. And today, I'm with Victor. How are you doing today, Victor?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming back. Anybody who's listening or watching, you can check out Victor's story of how he got to where he is and a little bit about what he's thinking about for the future. Today, we're going to dive into that and expand upon it. And also, if you're listening when this is dropped and it's still spring of May 2024, he is also going to be sitting on a panel at the Beauty Business Brunch. And so you can even get to ask him questions personally. All right. So let's get started, Victor. So why don't you start off? I would like to know, what is Our Space?
Yeah, no, thanks for asking. So Our Space is really an amalgamation of different things. So at its core, it is a holistic wellness and healing space. And that extends to both physical, like brick and mortar, because I definitely see that in my future. But it also consists of, I think, other opportunities for us to be able to come together, to learn, and to grow. So Our Space, and space in particular, actually stands for a number of different things. So it stands for safety, play, agency, community, and exploration. As I think about my own upbringing and different opportunities that I've had and how they have affected me, when I think about those five words, I think that every individual, both on a spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical level, we need those things. So I know personally, I move at the speed of safety. Play is what really fuels my creativity. Agency pushes me to say what I mean what I say, and also hold others accountable. You can't do anything alone is a personal belief of mine. So finding like-minded peers and really building that community is important. And I feel that what keeps you growing is the space to explore. And so I think really what those words encapsulate are my own personal values. And that is how I live. That's how I lead. And that's also how I like to share energy and space with other people. So I look at, and like you said, I'm weeks away from school. I'm so excited for finishing school. I'm so excited. But I like to look at my chair right now in school, you know, as Our Space. I think about the opportunity, you know, to sit here with you and share a bit of more about me, about Our Space and about my thoughts. That also is encapsulated in Our Space. Also, in a plug, I've been developing my own hair oil, which if you go to my Instagram, I have a shop on Instagram that you can buy it. That is also a part of Our Space, using aromatherapy and herbs to really stimulate the scalp, stimulate our senses, stimulate really our energy. And so ultimately, as I grow and as I continue to do a number of different things, Our Space will remain that umbrella of opportunities for us to be. And as I like to say, we all deserve to feel beautiful just because. And so I want Our Space to really be a beacon of that throughout the industry.
I love that so much. You know, I first of all, I love your concept, and in terms of like a structure, you saying talking about your umbrella, I can totally relate because I too have an umbrella called Hatching Imagination, and it is a place where ideas come to life, and I'm like an idea person big time, you know.
Yes,
so
same.
Hairdresser Strong is an idea that is has come to life under the Hatching Imagination umbrella. So I totally get it, and I love this Our Space, and congratulations on getting through to the near the end of school. I'm
Thank
sure
you.
you're gonna finish with flying colors. And then, okay, so, all right, so now we've established that. So let's talk about where you, in terms of like what you're looking at. Let's start with, so we have looking forward, building yourself, pursuing a passion, affecting change. So our space is, it sounds like it's going to kind of be part of like how you communicate with the industry in terms of advocacy. Is that right? Do I got that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that that is definitely a core component. I think as I've entered into this industry and also entering in with, I would venture to say maybe a non-traditional perspective. I think that like for me, I am 33. I had a career in corporate America before coming into the beauty industry. When I look around at a lot of my peers in school, a lot of them are right out of high school or maybe a couple years out of high school, and not to overemphasize age, but I think that when I look at my background, I'm bringing a couple of different experiences to this industry. I think that for me, having worked with students before, having been in human resources, I think a lot about people, and I think a lot about our experience, our experiences, but also our experience in a given space. And so when I think about affecting change in this industry, I think that there's a lot that I want to put my imprint on. I think that cosmetology school, while it's widely, I think, understood, especially once you enter in. And definitely, I think amongst stylists who I talk to who are, out of school and in varying lengths of time, will tell you that, it prepares you for, or it should prepare you really well for the state board. But of course, there is a gap and always things to learn. That's one of the things I love about this industry. There's so much to learn, but there is a gap between, I think, like exiting school directly and for a lot of us potentially being the stylist that you want to be, if you have that defined for you. But even with that reality, I still think that there's a number of different things that school can do. I want to actually start by thanking, your platform for opening my eyes as someone entering into this space to different things that I've since utilized and have been life-changing. So shout out to David Castle, who was on your show with Industry Aligned. I work with him. I work with him once a week or once every 2 weeks, and it has completely transformed my awareness of my body, how I feel, when I'm at school. And I can only imagine, I'm only at the beginning of my career, so I can only imagine, not really understanding body mechanics 10, 15, 20 years into our career. For example, I think that that is something that needs to be touched on at least in school, right? Even if it's a seminar from someone like that, giving you, different tips and tricks. I also think about L'Oreal has a great program made for stylists, by stylists, called Heads Up, Mental Health Keys. And so they actually incorporate some of that movement and stuff like that as well, but also the mental, emotional, cognitive effects, of styling. I think a lot about just like health and safety, given that we work with a lot of chemicals. And so I've had to really up my intake of different herbs and things like that, which has led into the oil that I have. So I personally think about holistic wellness a ton. But when I think about, longevity, in this industry, I think that there is so much to consider given how physical, the job is, that I think that that is something, that should be introduced in school. Another thing is to the conversation that we were talking about before we, started the podcast, like generational wealth, and not even just generational wealth, but money management. So actually, let me start there. I think that generational wealth potentially can be down the line, depending on, circumstances and where you're starting from, but managing money. We touch a lot of cash still in this industry, a lot of Venmo, Cash App, taxes, right? I think that there are so many skills that we could be learning, you know, while we're in that space. I also want to be fair to the industry in that also having, you know, having a degree from an undergraduate degree, there's so many life skills that also aren't taught in college either. So unfortunately, this is not unique to the beauty industry. So I do want to provide that holistic perspective, but I think as a trade, in the trade space, I think there's so much that we can do since we are trained directly to industry to truly be prepared for that. I think one of the other things that comes to mind, especially now that I'm talking to different salons, I'm exiting the school space, is literally that leap to industry. I've gone on different, I have shadowed different salons, but even being in interview processes, and me as an HR person, I'm like, okay, like, are there three interviews? Like, you know, who am I talking to and what's going on? And I found that it's very much a vibe and a feeling. And I don't mean to make it sound not serious, but I do think that we can add more structure and rigor. And when I think about also as a diversity, equity, inclusion practitioner, when I think about equity, when I think about people having the information that they need to be able to make decisions appropriately, I worry about our industry, especially given the age and experience level of folks entering in. I worry about how that has effects on our finances, on our bodies, you know, on our overall experiences, and how that affects, going back to one of my core values, really agency. How do I make sure I have the information I need to understand if this will be a good fit or not? And so I think that there's a lot more rigor and process that we, I think, need to add, you know, into the conversations that we're having and the matching that's taking place, really for the longevity of our industry. I can talk all day, so I'll pause.
What's
there.
An example of that? Like, what's an example of something that you would want to add?
I think really just a general structure. So there are a few salons that I think are really leading the way and have that, but I think providing various touch points of opportunities to really learn more about people on a behavioral level, understanding what it is that they do really well, and spaces where they want to grow from a technical level. And then I think also goal alignment, you know, like to the best of your ability, like where is it that you want to be? Realistically, for salon owners and on the salon side, like what can we provide? And how can we both push each other, right, from the stylist, but also the, you know, the owner side, or those folks to really be able to grow and learn together. So I think having those like literal touch points,
give me an example. Like, if someone is like, I love all this, but I'm not really 100% clear. Yeah,
I think a tangible example would be as we're getting to know people in the industry, I think instead of open-ended conversations and visits, actually figuring out, deciding, I think as a salon, what is it that we're looking for? Are we looking for a fit into our culture, which I think needs to be defined? Are we looking for technical skill at this new style, at new talent level? What does that look like, right? And then are we looking for, you know, alignment to goals? Here's what we offer in terms of education, you know, and other benefits. Does that align? And literally, I think, you know, asking that and then being able to assess that during that interview process. So I think, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it looks like both having really intentional conversations, but I think also being really honest about the vision for like the salon or the space, And how you're looking for folks to grow, and being honest about what you might not have yet in place that might be on the roadmap. So I think literally sharing that information back and forth will help folks make a more informed decision and owners to be more comfortable with the talent coming into their spaces.
So I love the way this sounds, and I really do want to expand on it. So just to create a kind of tie this all together, or tie it off, if you will. Not that I want to move on, but just to make sure it's complete, for anybody who is like. For example, say I'm a salon owner, and you're a stylist that's coming to apply to you, I'm one on your list of salons that you're interested in. For example, having on my website potentially, or maybe making some videos of me talking about the business, and then I'm going to ask you to correct me if I'm wrong here. I create some videos and be like, hey, what's up? You know, you come work in my salon. This is our vibe. This is the type of person we're looking for. This is the what we have in terms of education. This is what the growth path would be like if you come to work here. Here's a couple of scenarios of what growth could look like based on you, or based on us, or based on the economy, or based on, or whatever. I mean, you know, like, what are all these different types of ways that you could grow in our business, and like things to, you know, caveats, you know, like if there's a, yeah, things happen in life and business that might derail that. But maybe that's a disclaimer I make in the videos, like, hey, this is the standard practice here. Is that one? Is that what you're kind of part of what you're talking about?
Yes, I do think that's a great part of what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I think that's something that if I was interested in a place, I would want to know that information and have it be readily accessible. I think the part that what I can offer that I think is super tangible, and this is a body of work, and I actually have to shout out my husband for introducing me to this body of work, but it's called structured interviewing. I won't go super in depth on all that there is within that, but I think what I can offer to salons are to say, hey, our process, you know, as we're thinking, number one, do we have the bandwidth to take on new talent? That's literally a yes or no. Because I've also gone on conversations and people are like, well, we don't really have anything. You know, we just kind of want to meet. Cool. But I think we need to align on like what the goal is. And literally,
okay,
and again, I'm putting my HR hat on, is the headcount there, right? Yes.
Right.
Cool. Here's what our interview process looks like. Maybe the first step is, you know, you're shadowing somebody for 3 hours. This is literally your time to shadow. We don't have expectations, you know, necessarily of you providing a service, but you can ask questions. You know, you can get your own feel on what this could be like for you. We can have a conversation after that to see if you would like to move on in the process. Maybe the second step could be, you know, like a technical interview or alignment. You know, we at least want new talent coming in to be able to do a great shampoo, which looks like this, and a blow dry, which looks like this. Let's see, you know, what that looks like for you.
Okay. Sorry. So do you, I love, okay, this is great. So our first question, because you're from you've worked in other industry, is that a standard practice in other industries, being like, hey, before we start, this is what you should expect?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
All right. And I would say that has been one of the most challenging things for me.
Okay.
Because I think that things can be presented very much open-ended. Like, come on in. I'm like, sure. You know, but like, to do what? Right? Like, I don't want to go too hard on the interview front where you're like, wait, this is not even an interview. We're just meeting.
Right.
Or I also don't want to come with my whole bag of stuff. And it's like, what do you mean? You're not doing anything technical. So, yeah.
Okay, yeah. You know what? That's, yeah, because like my experience is, the salon owners typically want to maintain a level of flexibility in their ability to make decisions in their business. So that's, I think, where the source of the unfortunate abundance of social media content that is saying that salon, there's a lot of toxicity in salon with salon owners. You know, I definitely think that because, like, it, I think it all, I think a lot of it boils down to that. Other than blatantly lying or stealing or abuse or, you know, all the stuff that I think it would be hard for anybody to talk their way out of. But this kind of like idea, this has been my experience, is like, it's like, I don't want to put things on paper. I don't want to put things in, like, I don't want to put, they're like, they don't want to put anything that you can try to hold them to.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to say, well, this is my business, too bad. They don't want to say that because they know that how you're going to react, but they will say that.
And so I love that you said that. And here's my thing. I'm like, well, how do I know? How do I know that what you say is actually going to be what you do if it's not written down? How do I know? How can I assess integrity and growth plans and things like that if it's communicated to me casually, as opposed to a place that I can like access and for it to be a resource? And I think tying this all together too, again, you know, when we think about, I think that there are two different things going on. I think that salon owners will be salon owners. Me as a new talent stylist, in my mind, there's no way that I can come for your vision for your salon. And I say that not saying that anyone suggested that, but the ability to like maintain the right to make decisions will always be that person's, right? And so I think it's a false choice to think that that could potentially be threatened. I think the other piece, though, is,
by the way, that's awesome. I love that statement, by the way.
Yeah, because I see that a lot in this industry, and feel free to redirect me because now I'm excited. And so I see this a lot in this industry. I think about it with classes too. You know, you still kind of have some stylists who are like, what do you mean you like you're interested in that technique? Well, I'm like, there are multiple people who do color, right? So like my color is never going to be exactly the same as yours. But me, you know, understanding more about a technique that you do, number one, that doesn't take away it being your technique. Right. You know, but I might be putting my own spin on it, you know, right? And like, and if you want to share, charge me, right? Like make it a class, charge for the class. And then like you're getting, you know, kind of that stamp to say, like, this is your technique and like I paid to learn it. But so I think that we need to think outside of like, this is not an individual profession. I mean, being a business owner is not an individual task. Like you're literally leading and managing people, and you're shepherding a vision. And so I don't believe that you can effectively shepherd and not be able to be able to share a clear vision, and to be able to actually give feedback and also share expectations. And so I think there's also an alignment here with school. I think if we could align, you know, as an industry on high level expectations, and what to me, what that might look like is here's a family of technical expectations that I would have of a new talent stylist. So maybe that means, you know, basic blow drying, shampooing, whatever. Right? Schools can make sure that we're at minimum prepared to do that, right? If I know that there's going to be a behavioral component, right, of the interview, for folks who might have never had interview prep before, never created a resume before, those types of things we could be doing in school, right? So then by the time we're leading there, you know, I'm prepared with the information that I need to provide to you. You're giving me information that I need to know, though, about what I might be entering into. So one of the things that I have noticed in this industry is that there's kind of like a tug of war, you know, and it comes down to power. And ultimately, I think it comes down to capitalism, but I'm not going to get on that. I'm not going to get on that soapbox because then it'll be a really long conversation. But I think that transparency is really important. And I think that if we really say that we want to grow people and to grow stylists, like I see a lot about being a six-figure stylist. And if we really want people to be able to grow, then we have to provide them with clear expectations, feedback, and direction and vision.
That's good. Yeah. And I do think that it would be nice to see the schools, you know, handling like the interview prep, also like basic understanding. Like my experience is that the schools are okay. First of all, the schools, the teachers, the directors, they say, the owners, they say that they do teach the students that they like realistic expectations for the majority of salons to have to train once you get out of school. And they say, tell me that the students think that they don't know what they're talking about. And if they were so successful, then why are they teaching at a school? That's literally what the teachers are saying to me, that the students are saying to them. So I don't, but I don't, I mean, I'm not in the school. And actually applied to teach at Paul Mitchell, but I never got a response back just so that I could get in there because there was a position open and I would just wanted to get in there just to like see for myself, you know, if that meant committing to like working there for a while, then I would have done that. But anyway, so one, is that been your experience?
That hasn't personally been my experience. I mean, I feel like I can learn from anyone. I think every conversation is an opportunity to learn, whether there is a dynamic of director, instructor, peer, you know. So like for me, it doesn't matter. I can walk down the street and learn something new. So I don't walk into spaces thinking a lot about hierarchy or positional dynamics. I choose to think more about, you know, agency, safety, play, communication, and exploration, you know. So like that's just how I move in the world. I strongly believe on a holistic level, I think that mirroring the industry, I think that cosmetology school, through conversations that I've had with folks across varying different schools, so I'm also not talking about one school. Again, I don't think it's as structured as it may seem. I think there are broad buckets, like you're in the classroom, you're on the clinic floor, but there's so much in between there. How should I work with instructors once I'm on the floor, right? How are we bringing to life principles of haircutting that we learned in the classroom? And now I'm faced with, like, I know how to do a layer, but it's on this particular head shape. This person is asking for this cut. Like, I think I know what a butterfly cut is, but maybe not, right? So again, I think there's so much in the middle and gray areas. And personally, I think because we don't have specific expectations of like, this is what you're here to learn in school. Like, I know the curriculum is what it is, but here's what we're committed to teaching you. Here's how, as an instructor, I can help. And here's what I'm asking of you as a student, right? I'm asking you, how best do you learn? You know, is it uncomfortable for me to stand and watch you? Or do I need to give you space, you know, and come back? So I say that, I mean, I think of your question, and I think we get very much into very specific scenarios and the semantics, but I think if we zoom out, I'm like, I think that people have such varying experiences because we don't know what we're supposed to experience. And I'll speak for myself, when I entered this cosmetology school, I literally only knew that there was a classroom portion and on the clinic floor. I had no idea what anything else consisted of. And even through like my visit and like talking to people, I'm like, I know they're educators, but like, I don't like, do they stand with me throughout a whole haircut? Or do they walk away and come back? You know, I also do have a very type A mind. So I mean, I think about small details, but I think when you're creating a learning program, that's important. And I think if you don't have that, you can get all types of feedback. So I think that that feedback that you shared, I don't want it to seem like I'm rendering it invalid, or I do think that is folks' experience. But I am leading with inquiry and like, what could have potentially prevented even that question? And I think understanding the full scope of, you know, what folks' roles are and how we're here to work together can really help that. So I think that I don't currently think that we have that in the industry, and I think that that's both a pain point and a place that we can beef up.
I think what you're talking about, it just requires a certain amount of organization and thoughtfulness that
And leadership.
in place, well, yeah, in leadership, in places that I'm not sure that I don't know, have we really had it? I mean, I remember when I was coming up and I did my apprenticeship program. I didn't really know either what was going on. I was a teacher at a hair school, and I felt like it was super, super structured, but that could have just been my experience because I'm a little type A too. And I'm like, and I like the rules. Like, these are the rules. Like, we're gonna stay in the rules. And there wasn't a lot of gray area. And but I also think that culturally, within our industry and maybe abroad, maybe beyond, I think that the gray area has expanded. And maybe the gray area has expanded. Like there's a lot of like, oh, like, okay, back when I was a teacher, and I feel like we're gonna kind of go in, so we could go off to way off left field on talking, but just to complete the thought, well, when I was teaching, well, I shouldn't say was, because I still teach, but I have evolved my teaching style. But when I was teaching earlier in my career, it was very much militant style teaching. There was like, there's a right way, there's a wrong way, and if you did it wrong, you need to do it again until you get it right. Now, if it's a little more like, well, what is your interpretation? How do you feel about this? And that opens people up in my pers my, from what I've seen as a teacher now, that the younger people have such a like a loose, if any, understanding of the foundations which are required in order to build upon. And so I'm wondering if there's something there. I don't know, but like how I've evolved my teaching is I still lay heavily into the theory, and I still lay heavily into like structured stuff, and I make sure people understand this is a classroom. You're not gonna have a lot of room for interpretation. I run jam sessions where you could bring in pictures or model and you can work on them, and I'll help you work on them through them. And that is way more open interpretation. But like, if you're coming to learn about how to cut this haircut, then you're gonna cut it the way I tell you to cut it, and we're gonna talk through it, and then you're gonna go back into your world, and then you're gonna use that and layer that your interpretation of what your experience was onto your clientele. But like, there's a lot of teaching that is like, oh, I'm just going to show you some stuff, and like, I feel like this, and like, oh, I did this over here. You know, I don't think that that's good education, but I think that's more inspiration. I think that's like more in the creative space, but like there needs to be some sort of structure to like the point of the like that's the biggest point I'm taking away. I think maybe there needs to be a little more thought in when it comes to structure. Anyway, I don't
I
know,
think
that's
so, and I'll just say one last thing on it. I think that there are I also believe that there are fundamentals. And I think that what I will say from my experience level, having still been in school, I wouldn't say that I have a super firm grasp on when to say this is fundamental and this isn't. I do feel like my education, I've gotten a lot of fundamentals, and I've noticed that as I'm able to and actually feel comfortable, you know, experimenting, but then also like taking things that I also see and learn from other places and then connecting that to theory and being able to come out with something that has my stamp on it, but also is technically sound. I think that the piece that makes it, I imagine, might make it really challenging, especially for instructors, is social media. And that, you know, people are calling things a lot of different things. Sometimes I'll show an instructor, they're like, this is like technically this is X. Like,
right.
sure, for like the butterfly or like this, that, and the third, but technically this is X, right? So like you can do that, but and this actually combines what we learned here, here, and here. So I think that I could see how social media can definitely be an asset and it could help in the learning process, but I could also see how that could be a distraction, you know, if you're not really able to kind of parse out what is kind of in that purely creative space versus like, you know, the fundamentals of literally being able to cut, you know, a head of hair. So I think that's also where it starts to get a bit dicey.
So I think that this conversation has been super awesome. I know we're running up on time and I want to respect your time. So before I say anything else that might cause us to want to talk more about something, how are you on time?
I can go over.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
A little bit. All right. Okay. So what I was going to say was I was talking to a salon owner and he's known for being like incredibly brilliant when it comes to formulations and for color. And he really strongly believes in the foundational understanding of color. He also has his own opinion of how foundations should be taught, but nonetheless, foundations / fundamentals, that I'm using that word interchangeably. And he was telling me that L'Oreal used to have a foundations of color or like a color boot camp or a color in depth or something class. It was a multiple day course. And I want to say it was more than 2 days. I want to say it was like 3 or 4 days. And he said now they've whittled it down to being like not even a full day. And when he asked them why, he said, because we've pulled the customers and that's the type of education they want. They don't want to go through like a long thing. They don't want this intense thing, you know, so I'm going to just leave that right there. Now there's another something that I want to share. And then when you add them all together, it's conjecture maybe, but nonetheless, I think that there's a story being told here. And so the other thing is you brought up social media and I can't believe I didn't even bring that up, but like, yes, social media has to this industry has created a ton of kind of like, I want to call it cookie cutters. Like, I want to learn this haircut. And so then I'm going to take this haircut and I'm going to go and do that haircut on clients because that's the haircut they want. And like, it makes sense. It makes sense that you're going to do the haircuts that customers want because that's literally like how it works. And so,
right.
So if you're coming up and you have the industry has been moving away from intensively teaching foundations and fundamentals in general, and you couple that with this concept of like kind of like flash commercial repeat, like what do I see now? I need to go, I need to learn how to do this, but like you'd know how to do that if you had a strong foundations. I can literally look at pretty much any haircut and I can recreate that haircut, you know, let's say like there are some haircuts that are super tight framed, obviously, that I might not be able to see. But like if I could see the haircut, you know, even one angle, I could probably recreate that haircut, you know. So but like if you need to take a haircut to how to learn how to do a wolf cut, then you don't have strength in your foundations, period, full stop. So yeah, that's kind of like my kind of how I see this stuff. And so like when you kind of throw all of that back into the conversation we were talking about, we're talking about adding structure in the industry. So like maybe there's a trend shift where people are going to have a larger appreciation for foundations and fundamental learning and be more focused on craft. That is actually a prediction of mine that we're going to see people moving towards being like, you know what? I've realized this whole social media, doing hair by way of social media is actually super shallow. It lacks incredible depth and it is not setting me up for the success of my future. So I actually have to go back a little bit and I need to kind of revamp myself and kind of like make sure that I bring up my foundational understanding of my craft and also pick my educators a little more wisely. You know, if you're picking like an influencer to come in and do a haircut, but they're not going through theory, and they're just like, and they can't explain why they're doing things and they can't answer every question, then maybe you consider never ever paying them for a class again. That's my plug right there for education.
And I mean, this is a great conversation. I agree. And I my prediction, to add on to yours, I do predict that we'll go back to the fundamentals. And I think that we like probably all need to together kind of define what that means so that we're coming from a shared understanding. But I actually think it's going to be led by the guest, because I think that the guest is going to notice like, okay, you gave me this, like maybe this, the exact thing that I wanted, that I told you I wanted, but it literally doesn't look the best on me, right? For various reasons that we can go back to with theory. But if the stylist and the provider doesn't know that, right, that will lead to client dissatisfaction. So I think there's dissatisfaction as defined by the guest. But I also think medically, if you will, I think when I think about the scalp and I think about some of these products that people are using, the amount of product, the tension, when you get into adding hair, installs not being done correctly, alopecia. So I predict that, I agree with your overall prediction, but I think along the way is going to be client dissatisfaction across a number of different parameters. And I think, medically, unfortunately, I do predict that folks will be struggling. And so I think that we'll have to go back to the fundamentals, because I think that we're going to hit an inflection point, you know, in this industry. My hope is that, and my push, and then back to affecting change, what I would offer is that I want us to start talking about that now and start framing our conversations that way, you know, as opposed to saying, I think you have kind of like this old guard, like, oh, y'all are following Instagram. Y'all have no idea what it's like to be a stylist and the fundamentals. Then you have the younger folks, like, I have clients coming in asking me for this haircut. I need you to help me with this haircut. I'm not trying to go back to sheer overcomb, holding my hands this way. So I get it. But I think that I would rather us come together and try to figure that out together before it becomes crucial, because it will become crucial. Nothing is new under the sun. It all come back around. Things have been deemed fundamentals for a reason. I'm not saying that there isn't room to add on to that or shift that. I think that's when the conversation about texture comes in. I think there are some core fundamentals of texture that right now are not considered fundamentals, because there are still folks out here who have no idea how to work with curls and coils, right? Hold so on. I think there's the ability to both interrogate and to add on. But I think our clientele and ultimately our pocketbooks are going to be the catalyst for deep change in the industry. And I hope that we can actually begin to make that change for the health and integrity of our industry before it becomes absolutely critical.
I love this. Well, this is so good. I feel like that's a great place to wrap it up. And I feel like there's so many more things we could talk about. And
always.
I, I'm,
You'll just have to make me a regular.
I was gonna say that. I was gonna say you could be a regular contributor to the Hair Just a Strong show. We could even do some IG lives and see if any like
oh yeah, I would love that.
Jump on, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that would be cool too.
Yeah,
because like you touched on so many. These tentacles kind of expand out of so many things that we were talking about, and specifically, well, we had a great conversation and we don't have to go like any, like, I'm just going to go deeper and deeper. So yes, this was good. And definitely plan on talking more about this and having you on the panel for the Beauty Business Brunch coming up on May 19th. And also your oil, speaking of plugs, we'll make sure to leave whatever links and information in the description about how they can access that. All right, cool. Well, I think, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.